Greetings of love this morning in Jesus' name. It's good to be back together again like this. And it's good to see so many of our Bible school students here this morning. And if we get back to normal life again, maybe it'll be somewhat of a new normal for some of us as we apply the things that we have learned and the commitments that we've made during the time of Bible school. Let's turn our Bibles to begin with here in John chapter 15, and beginning at verse 14 through verse 17 here this morning for the reading of the Word. John 15, verse 14. I have entitled my meditation here this morning, "The Chosen of God." "Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another." Thinking of being chosen, I know how it was when I was a student in school, and I suppose it's still somewhat that way. The teacher would appoint captains for the teams, whether it was volleyball, baseball, whatever it happened to be. And then they were to choose the ones that they wanted on their team. And generally, the first choice was those who were the most athletic and were going to be the best contribution to winning the game, whatever it was. And so if you were down the line a ways, or maybe even the last one chosen, it didn't make you feel, kind of made you wonder, you know, what's wrong with me, you know? And so didn't make you feel very good. Maybe it isn't that way for you, I don't know. But I just remember some of those feelings, you know, because we all wanted those who were going to help our team to win. And so, you know, who wants to be the last one chosen? Most of us don't. Well, here Jesus says that he is our friend. He says, "Ye are my friends." And sometimes when we were choosing, we didn't always choose so much for athletic ability, but maybe we had a friend and we wanted that friend to be on our side. And so we chose because they were our friend rather than because of their athletic ability. And so as a friend, you know, you may be chosen on that basis of friendship. Well, in the kingdom of God, we're all chosen because we're friends. We're not chosen because of our ability necessarily. But we want to enlarge on that here in the scripture. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 6, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world." You know, we all want to be the first one chosen because that means that somebody has confidence in us or because we are somehow special to them. And so we want to be the first ones chosen. Well, here the Bible tells us that we were all the first ones chosen before the foundation of the world. Even before we were born, we were chosen. And so that puts us all in first place, doesn't it? God wants all of us to be a part of his family, his kingdom, before the foundation of the world. But here it doesn't end there. It says that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And so he has chosen us to be some kind of special people, to be holy people without blame before him in love. And love is the framework in which all the other attributes and virtues fit in. having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath accepted us in the beloved. And that's something else that we all crave, is acceptance. And when we are the first ones chosen, that makes us feel accepted, doesn't it? And we don't like to have a feeling of rejection, you know, the last one or the one that nobody else wants, you know, that doesn't make us feel very good. Well, in the kingdom of God, we are accepted in the beloved. We're not the last or the least. To God, everyone is equally important. And then further down here in the 19th verse of this same chapter, he says, if you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. And so here he makes a distinction between those who are of the world and those who have been chosen out of the world. So if you're chosen, if you're one of the chosen of God, then you have been chosen out of the world. You've been chosen from the world, out of the world. And so that gives us a special distinctiveness that makes us somehow different than the world in many ways. Now going back to the Old Testament, I'd just like to look at just a couple Old Testament examples here of God, of how God works in the choosing process. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 7, in verse 5, I'll just read verses 5 through 8. And that's kind of just jumping in here in the middle of it. But he just gets done telling them when they go into Canaan how they should deal with the people there and how they should avoid influences that are going to cause them to fall and to serve other gods, and that there must be a distinction between them and the people of the land when they go in, that they are not to mix with them. In fact, utter annihilation was God's command to them, which simply speaks to us of God not being pleased with the mixing that takes place between his people and the people of general society. For thus shall you deal with them. You shall destroy their altars, break down their images, cut down their groves, burn their graven images with fire. For thou art an holy people. Now, can we kind of make a connection there between God's standard in the Old Testament, God's standard in the New Testament? It hasn't really changed that much, has it? God still wants his people to be a called out people and a holy people. Unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto him above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you nor choose you because ye were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people, but because the Lord loved you and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And when we think of the bondage the children of Israel were under there in Egypt, they were slaves, they were groaning under the burdens, they were under the lash of the taskmasters, and it was a horrible situation that God delivered them out of. They were helpless to do it of their own strength. It was not possible, but God brought them out, redeemed them out of the house of bondmen and out of the power of Pharaoh, who is a type of Satan, our enemy. And so he did that for them because why? Because he loved them. And he does the same thing for us as well. We are chosen of him because he loves us. And so is that the end of the matter? Well, we go back to verse 5, and he says how they should deal with them. Destroy the altars, break down the images, cut down their groves, burn their graven images with fire. You know, he's saying, on the basis of the fact that you are willing to do that, you can remain under my protection and in my love and care. Otherwise, he had words of curse and punishment and judgment that would come on them. Now, going to the 26th chapter of Deuteronomy. Now, this is now just before they enter into promised Canaan in verses 16 to 19. He says, for all that do such things and all that do unrighteously are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. Remember what Amalek, I'm in the wrong chapter, 26. I was reading out of 25, 26, 16. This day the Lord thy God hath commanded thee to do these statutes and judgments that thou shalt therefore keep and do them with all thine heart and with all thy soul. Thou hast avouched the Lord this day to be thy God. In other words, God has chosen you. I have chosen you out of my love for you. But now you also have a decision to make. And this word avouch means to change our allegiance to God, or to give him our allegiance, to choose him. Thou hast avouched the Lord this day to be thy God, and to walk in his ways, and to keep his statutes, and his commandments, and his judgments, and to hearken unto his voice. And the Lord hath avouched thee this day to be his peculiar people, as he hath promised thee that thou shouldest keep all his commandments, to make thee high above all nations, and so on. And so he says, you have avouched me, I have avouched you. And now we are on the same team. We're working together. And that's what God desires of us, and he desires of us to have that Christian identity that puts us clearly on the side of God, and that there is no question where our allegiance is. Our allegiance is with God, and we will live and walk our lives accordingly. Now, going to the New Testament. In 1 Peter chapter 2, our identity as God's chosen ones is evident by our obedience to his word and to his will, and by our willingness to bear the reproach of Christ in contrast to a worldly identity that coalesces with ungodly society. And so the blessing of Israel was contingent on their remaining a distinct and a separate people in Canaan. And so now the question comes to us in the New Testament setting. We know the history of the Old Testament. We know that the children of Israel, when they entered into Canaan, instead of doing everything that God had said, they brought them into tribute. They made them hewers of wood, bearers of burdens, drawers of water, and they thought they had them under their thumb. They thought they were in control, but they had not obeyed God. They had decided on a compromising solution, and it ended up that not very long, that the very people that they thought they had under their dominion or control ended up being the ones in control. And the children of Israel actually became worse than their neighbors in the worship of idols and things like that, the Bible tells us. And so so the question comes to us now in the New Testament, as those that are chosen of God, am I an exclamation point in my identity for Jesus, or a question mark? When people see my life, they see how I conduct myself, how I talk, the clothes I wear, my conduct, my comportment. Is it an exclamation point for the Lord Jesus? Have we avouched? Are we clearly in allegiance with him? Or are we a question mark? You know, where is he or isn't she? Is she or isn't she? You know, it's a little hard to tell. So God wants us to be an exclamation point, all in. So in 2 Peter chapter In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 is what I want to look at here. He says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Again, here we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people. In other words, there is an identity that goes along with being a Christian, calling the Lord Jesus our Lord, our Savior. There's an identity that goes along with that. And in verse 10, it says, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. And here again, we have that terminology of love and care. Dearly beloved, I beg with you, I plead with you as strangers and pilgrims. Is that really descriptive of my worldview, of my concept of Christianity? Does that really describe how I apply it as a stranger and a pilgrim? You know, just passing through, our home is somewhere else. Our home is in heaven. And that's what the connotations are there. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God on the day of visitation. The term elect in the scripture, which it has much the same meaning as being chosen. And we find that term scattered throughout the epistles as it refers to God's chosen ones. And we have one example right here in the second verse of chapter 1. When he says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God, in order chosen from the beginning, according to the foreknowledge of God, chosen for what? Through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience, sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace be unto you, grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. And so if we are one of God's chosen ones, we're one of his elect ones, we are precious, precious to him, a holy nation, showing forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness. And that is always God's call. God's call is always a calling to come out from among them, that ye be not partake, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her plagues. And once we lose that identity, and we are ashamed of that identity. You know, Jesus says that if you are ashamed of me and of my word, when he comes with in his glory with the holy angels, he's going to be ashamed of us as well. That would be a terrible thing. Let's not be ashamed to identify. Let's not be ashamed of our identity as the people of God. Let's not try to cover up that identity or to be a question mark in any way. Showing forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness, a light to the Gentiles. You know, that's talking about the unsaved. You know, there are people out there who are looking for truth. They're looking for something better than they have. The world is a difficult, a dark place to live in. Surely there has to be a better way. And if they can see a stranger and a pilgrim who is bearing the light of Jesus in his life and in his testimony, bound for a home in heaven. Jesus says, in my Father's house are many mansions. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And that's for the people of God. That's for his friends, the ones he has chosen. But remember, we also must give him our allegiance if we're going to actually realize the fulfillment of it and experience the rewards.